RocketReviews.com film critic and podcaster, yes, podcaster, Danny Baldwin. I just want to remind you first that if you didn't hear yesterday's episode in which Michael, Retrospective's Guy Lester, and I dished on the movies of David Carradine, Boxcar Bertha, and Death Race 2000 in particular, I really suggest that you go back and listen to that because in my not-so-humble opinion, it's the BucketCast's best episode yet. But anyway, it's Tuesday, and by now you know that that means it's DVD Tuesday here on the BucketCast, where I tell you what to buy, what to rent, and what to avoid when you organize your Netflix queue, or if you're a caveman from the pre-Cambrian era, head to the local Blockbuster this weekend. Five movies are on DVD and Blu-ray today, and only one, which you probably already saw given its mammoth box office take, is a must-see. But don't tune out just yet, because I have another recommendation from the bunch, and it may surprise you. First, though, let's get the worst movie out of the way. Wayne Kramer's Crossing Over, which appropriately did little business in theaters, is an intersecting story-style drama with, it seems, an agenda just to defame the United States Immigration Customs Enforcement Agency. Nobody is good in this dark, dingy movie except for maybe Harrison Ford's protagonist, Max Brogan, a whiny ICE officer who sees so much wrong with the system that he has no choice but to merely look on with puppy dog eyes as all this corruption happens. Kramer's writing is not only full of ridiculous political accusations about ICE, it just seems like a ripoff of Crash. Racist characters do reviling things in LA. Does that sound familiar? And bad performances don't help either, because if you didn't like Ray Liotta, then prepare to have your hate validated at a whole new level. He plays an immigrations processor who makes a young Australian illegal immigrant his sex slave after she reveals her status, after they get in a car accident, crash anybody, putting her at his mercy. Sean Penn was in the first cut of the film, but then reportedly demanded he be taken out because Middle Eastern groups protested the content of his story thread. It seems like he dodged a pretty big bullet, as this movie stands as an irreparable blemish on its stars' resumes. Much better than Crossing Over, but by no means recommendable, is Tom Tykwer's The International. The characters in this movie are totally detached, and as a result, we can't really get involved in their stories at all. The main duo is Clive Owen's Interpol agent Louis Salinger and Naomi Watts' Manhattan District Attorney Eleanor Whitman. They're trying to bring down one of the world's biggest banks, which engaged in limitless corruption and illegal activity. As topical as that might sound, coming from my mouth, I assure you that the exercise becomes painfully boring almost instantaneously and really doesn't touch on the banking crisis. Director Tykwer occasionally interjects with a masterfully constructed action sequence, one of his signatures, that'll make it perk up for a while, but this is only momentary and they're few and far between. Relevant as the issues may seem, there's no getting around the fact that Lewis and Eleanor just aren't interesting as people, and as a result, the movie is uninteresting. If there's one reason to rent The International, though, it's the unbelievably shot shoot-'em-up centerpiece that takes place at the Guggenheim. It's a great scene in an otherwise mediocre film. Another movie to avoid this week is Nobel's Son, directed by Randall Miller, an indie that flopped last year in a self-distributed release through Freestyle. Don't let the presence of the usually spot-on Alan Rickman and Elijah Dushku fool you, because this plot twist-o-rama is nothing but boring and insipid at its core. Instead, rent Miller's Bottle Shock if you want to see a much better piece of work with the same cast and crew. Next up, now getting into the movies I recommend, there's a movie I probably shouldn't be recommending that you rent by the laws of critical snobhood, but I am. Oh, am I. Fired Up, a teen comedy starring Nicolas de Agosto and Eric Christian Olsen as two football players who ship off to cheer camp in order to score hot girls, is pretty ridiculous and sometimes unfunny, but there are no doubt big laughs when it hits its marks. This is perfect rental material, not substantive or effective enough to warrant a theatrical viewing, where I saw it, but amusing enough in its own right. De Agosto and Olsen do a serviceable job at physical comedy, and some of the cornball lines are funny in that we know the writers were fully aware of just how bad they were. Even an obnoxious subplot with a character played by Molly Sims worked, which is really a testament to just how good the movie is, in its own kind of minor way. There's some nice eye candy on display too, especially lead actress Sarah Romer. How could one go wrong with that, right? Cinematic purists, though, may heap Fired Up into the same pile with all the other teen-targeted trash released this year, but I think it's spunky and has a few good laughs. It's well worth renting. But if you haven't seen any of the movies coming out this week, any of them, there's really no substitute for Clint Eastwood's Gran Torino, my number 4 favorite film of last year, and the only film I've ever seen 3 times in the theaters. Okay, well, one time was at a drive-in, but that still counts, right? Yeah, I think so. As you probably know, the picture stars Eastwood as Walt Kowalski, a racist old man whose once great auto manufacturing-based Michigan neighborhood has been taken over by Hmong immigrant gangs. Walt unlikely befriends Tao, played by Bi Vang, a Hmong immigrant teenager who is forced to attempt to steal Walt's prized Gran Torino as a part of a gang initiation he really wants no part in. Walt catches Tao in the act, and Tao's mother makes him work for Walt to make up for the trouble. In the process, the two bond against the odds, and Walt realizes he must save Tao from the vice of his thug relatives. Beyond featuring Eastwood at his best, both bitingly funny and staunchly edgy, Gran Torino touches on deeper ideas like racial assimilation, American production, shifting neighborhoods, and what it's like to see the world through the eyes of a veteran. Gran Torino is classical filmmaking at its best, shot on a modest budget of $33 million, but driven by compelling characters and a richly drawn story. I'll definitely be buying the Blu-ray, and you should too. But if you already saw Gran Torino and Fired Up in theaters, then I suggest that you watch my DVD pick of the week, perhaps for a second time, or third time, or fourth time, or whatever. Some of you are going to be irate by this because not only was it released on DVD over 2 months ago, but you didn't like it in theaters. I'm picking it anyway, though, because it's my show. It's Twilight. I saw it again over the weekend, and not having the added pressure of feeling that these Twilight fans in the audience were going to crucify me if I burst out in laughter, I realized what a riot the movie is. Some of the sexual tension is hilarious, and some of the stuff that's really intended to be campy works, too. It made my top 10 of the year. I'm pretty sure I was the only critic who bestowed that honor upon it, but my appreciation of the movie is only furthered. I really think it's sexy, it's campy, it's funny, it's great. It's a great movie, and I don't know why you people didn't get it, so I encourage you to go back and revisit Twilight over the weekend. As for the movie I'll be renting this weekend, it's called Nicotina, and it finally sees DVD release 4 years after hitting theaters. It's a heist movie starring Diego Luna that played to pretty good reviews back when it came out. I remember I couldn't see it because it was rated R and I was like 16, and the theater I wanted to sneak into was tough on that. But I guess I'll finally have an opportunity to see it now. So watch it with me over the weekend, Nicotina, and maybe we'll start a discussion on it. You can email me at webmaster@bucketreviews.com. As always, send a tweet to Twitter handle Bucket Reviews, and we'll get snappy. Thank you for your listenership on this Bucketcast. Please go back and listen to the David Carradine retrospective yesterday. Really enjoyed it. And listen tomorrow when Michael will be back discussing 2 retrospectives. We're going to be doing The Taking of Pelham 123 and The Longest Day in celebration of the recent anniversary of D-Day. So, with that being said, this has been the Bucketcast. I'm Danny Baldwin saying peace out to all you Bucketcast listeners out there. We're on the front line. I get handed down the news. We're on the front line.